Welcome back. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Geek and Gamer Guild podcast. I am your host and your Dungeon Master, Troy. You can find me at Rockstar Troy, and you can now find the Geek and Gamer Guild on Twitter at Geek and Gamer. So today I wanted to take some time to talk about an incredibly good comic series that I think that a lot of my viewers, or listeners, I should say, can't see me, thankfully, because I'm not wearing pants. A lot of my listeners would definitely tell you, or I'm hoping that a lot of my listeners will greatly enjoy this series, or already have enjoyed this series. If not, go out, do whatever you gotta do to get your hands on this, rather in digital format or paper format. But we're talking about The Boys today. And before we get into that, though, the reason why I want to talk about The Boys, not just because of the fact that I think it is a phenomenal series, probably one of my favorite comic book series, because it has been reported that the next project for Seth Rogen and, I want to say his name is Evan Greenberg, some fucking Jewish name, the next project that they're going to have is creating a live-action TV series based on The Boys. And thankfully, it will be on Cinemax. Now, I say thankfully on that because The Boys is not a kid-friendly series. Let's put it that way. The series kind of revolves a lot around not only violence, which I know is acceptable on most TV stations and most different outlets, but a lot of graphic sexual content to it as well. So I believe that having the show on a TV or on a station that doesn't care as much about the content, I think it's going to be a much better thing. So, but we'll talk about that a little bit later, but let's get into what The Boys actually is. So, this comic series is written by Garth Ennis, and it was co-created, designed, and illustrated by Derek Robertson. And the series was actually canceled once. They had the first six issues of The Boys published by Wildstorm, which was formerly an imprint of DC Comics. And this was back in 2006. And on January 24th, 2007, the series was canceled after only six issues because of the fact that DC Comics, despite the fact that Wildstorm was a separate entity, decided that they were a little uneasy with the anti-superhero tone, and they canceled it. Thankfully, the series was picked up and moved to Dynamite Entertainment and has actually concluded. There are 72 issues, and the story is finished, so there's no, I don't really want to give away the ending of it, but there is actually some closure to it, which is great. You don't always get that with comic book series, especially considering that the landscape of the business and, you know, the fact that not, you know, comic books do cost a lot to create, and now that they're going far more digital, it is getting a little bit more hard to kind of facilitate the continuation of a series, especially one like this where it has no previous connection to anything. It's not a Spider-Man or X-Men, something that's got that lineage behind it. This was a brand new story, and on top of that, the tone of the work, as I said, is very anti-superhero, with good reason, though. I mean, that's kind of what makes the series so good. So The Boys is based in a world where superheroes exist, and The really fun thing about this series, also the very dark thing about this series, is the fact that while superheroes exist, most of them are not really that good of people. A lot of it is they treat the superheroes as, in some senses, kind of like gods, in other senses, just as celebrities. And because of that, you get a lot of these superheroes that are kind of corrupt, and they've got actual superpowers. So, of course, they're going to feel as if that they are, you know, greater than everyone else around them, and it's kind of hard to say that they're not. So that's one of those kinds of things where it's something that we haven't really seen too much before, or have since now started to see a little bit more of it. I know that Sirius Powers was kind of big on that as well, but they still kind of maintain that, hey, not all of them are bad. They still did a little bit more of the superhero supervillain split, whereas this one is pretty much almost every single one of the superhero characters in this are not good people. and most of it is just that the fame has corrupted them, the power has corrupted them. Not only that, but there is an astounding amount of superheroes in this. All of them, while some of them might be allegories to actual, you know, characters that that exist outside of it, most of them are, you know, they don't use pre-existing characters at all. They're brand new ones created just for the series, which is also great, and they don't pretend that there is, you know, that Superman's flying around or anything like that. So, the characters that we've got, we have two main characters, Billy Butcher and Wee Huey. And Billy Butcher is actually the leader of the boys. He was formerly the second in command of the boys and has now become the leader after an incident that happened with the former team founder, Greg Mallory. And again, with this podcast, going to get into a little bit of spoiler territory, but not to an extent where you're not going to want to read this. It's going to be most of what I'm going to talk about is, you know, revealed within the first couple of issues, you know, the characters and everything on that. Give you just kind of like a teaser, and also give you a little bit more, if you have read the series, my thoughts on a lot of different characters as well. Billy Butcher is from England, and he, in my mind, is kind of a Benedict Cumberbatch kind of looking guy. He's one of those really gray area kind of characters where, you know, he's presented in such a way that he's incredibly violent. He's a big guy. You know, he doesn't seem to bat an eye in terms of murdering people, blackmailing people, doing what he has to do to get his way. But he also has that, you know, other side to him. There's a lot of most of the characters in the series here are very multi-leveled, and it makes it so that none of them feel really shallow. You know, and yes, they've got a little bit of room to breathe. They've got 72 issues that they put out. There's a lot of world building that had to go in to make it a really great series. But so Billy Butcher, there was an incident that happened where the boys, which he has actually coined that phrase, was because of the fact that in the East End, where he is from, the boys were the guys that you sent in to take care of the bad guys, take care of the troublemakers. So essentially the world is inhabited by superheroes who don't really have any kind of checks and balances on them, and that's what the boys are. They are a small group of people who, through artificial means, are able to at least match strength for strength on superheroes. They have a substance that they inject into the boys in order to give them kind of super strength. It doesn't really give them any other powers than that, but that seems to be enough just because of the fact that just having that super strength, they're able to really combat a lot of the heroes that they face. There was the previous previously the boys were the four boys that we get in here and Mallory, and with Mallory gone, they need a new recruit. So Billy Butcher now taking over, the boys are shut down. Now it's coming back because there are still problems. You know, like I said, when you don't have any of those kinds of checks and balances, and you've got these guys just kind of doing whatever they want, and they are, you know, viewed as heroes, even though a lot of the destruction that they do is kind of covered up, and a lot of the bad things they do is covered up as well. You know, with Butcher, you know, they call him the Butcher, as well. And he is, you know, he's very social, he's very charismatic, but he does still have that really big dark side to him. He actually is the one who is responsible for recruiting, who is kind of the hero of the story, a guy by the name of Huey Campbell, and he goes by the name of Wee Huey. Now, he is actually intended to look like Simon Pegg. They have stated that outright, that his design is exactly ripped off from Simon Pegg. So I would really hope that, given the fact that Seth Rogen has worked with Simon Pegg, that maybe we will get Pegg playing Wee Huey in the series. It just wouldn't feel right if it's anybody else, because the character's him. So, But there is an incident that happens right at the drop of this, just to kind of show you, you know, exactly what you're getting into with the series. Essentially, Huey's girlfriend is killed thanks to a character by the name of A-Train. And you know, like I said, it's a little bit of spoilers, but it's like two pages into the book. So, you know, if you're going to read it, you're going to read it. And A-Train, like most of the superheroes, doesn't give a fuck. So because of that, kind of breaks Huey. And obviously Butcher is keen on what is going on with the superheroes out there, and proceeds to realize that Huey is probably the best person in order to, you know, to join the boys. So, you know, he injects him with Compound V, which is the substance that they use to give them powers. And, you know, Huey is, through the rest of the series, is kind of, you know, he's not from this kind of world. He's kind of ignorant to the superheroes around us. So he serves as kind of the audience as well, where he's going to ask some questions that will get answered by, you know, the rest of the boys and the people around him. And, you know, and there was, with him, he's also, you know, still has that kind of, like, naive nature to him that makes it so, you know, a lot of the things that he sees, he's more affected by it, where as the other members of the boys are sort of desensitized to it. He also plays kind of the comic relief of the series, which is kind of strange for a main character. But at the end of the day, he never feels really like he's just a throwaway joke. He always feels like he's so good natured and tries very hard. And, you know, he's been given this new power with Compound V, and he's been given this position here where he needs somebody, he needs to pick up the pieces of his life after this incident. And it's one of those things that makes Butcher where you're not quite sure if he is bringing in Huey because he thinks he can be good or because he thinks he can control him or what. You know, you don't really know a lot of his... a lot of things heading into the relationship there, but they are you know, brought to light as the series moves on. The third member is a man by the name of Mother's Milk, and off the top of my head, I don't know that they ever actually tell you his real name. I don't believe that you really get the real names of any of the other characters, but Mother's Milk is a very large African-American guy. He gets, I'm not going to explain why he gets the name Mother's Milk, because that is, a whole another thing, and I don't want to spoil it, but I'm sure anyone who's read The Boys is smiling and shaking their head, yep, it's interesting. But, you know, Mother's Milk is definitely he becomes a second in command, but he also, you know, he plays kind of the foil to Butcher, where he knows that Butcher is the leader, but he also feels maybe sometimes some of the things that Butcher does is not not right. So he is, like I said, he plays that kind of other side, he plays kind of that foil, but he also does help out Huey a little bit and seems to take more of a stoic approach to him. He's very methodical in a lot of the things he does. And he also is, he's really good, because when everyone else is kind of rushing in, he's more of the patient kind of guy. He's more of the, let's have a plan before we, you know, start flying off the handle like that. So he goes by MM, and like I said, I'm not going to explain very much into it, but he is actually an American. So there are, you know, they really do kind of run the gamut on where these guys are from. The former leader, Greg Mallory, is also American. Moving on from that, the fourth person that we've got is a man by the name of the Frenchman, otherwise known as Frenchie. And to me, you know, he looks a little bit like Vincent Cassel, or you know, someone along those lines. He is obviously French, and because of that, he actually speaks a lot of French to mixes a lot of French into his normal repertoire. He will call, I can't pronounce it, but the butcher, he calls him the butcher in French. It's like charcuter or something like that. And then with Wee Huey, it's Petit Huey. You know, he very much is, he's a little bit, he's definitely one of those characters where he gets a lot of the good material, and he's very interesting, he's very funny. Definitely probably the favorite character of a lot of different people, just because of the fact that, you know, he's pretty crazy, but he has kind of a sincerity to him, which makes him very, very interesting character. He also has a little bit of problem with kind of flying off the handle, and he is very violent as well, but it's kind of comes with the territory when you think of the rest of the people here. The final member of the boys is actually a female, and she goes by the female. The female, or the female of the species, is actually derived from a Rudyard Kipling poem of the same name. And again, like I said, I don't think you ever really get her real name either. But where the Frenchman is crazy, the female is psychotic. She is a small Asian woman. And she has selective mutism, is one of the things. She rarely talks, has a couple of different lines here and there, but one of those people where when she does talk, it's very important, it's very poignant. You know, her brutality is probably the worst of the five. She, you know, has been known to rip people's faces off and do other really bad things, but she is loyal to the other members of the boys, but you do feel kind of like if they did something wrong, she would have no problem killing them. She is, a really, really interesting character because of the fact that with this, she's not presented as, you know, kind of the damsel in distress. She is a very strong female character, and because of the violence that she has, and because of the fact that the way that she's presented, it makes it a lot different, where she actually is essentially the muscle of the group, which I think was a very welcome change of pace for the boys. Some of the other characters go through real quickly. Like I said, Greg Mallory, I'm not going to get into exactly why he is no longer in the boys, but definitely check that out. There is a man known by the legend, and he is a man who suffers from dwarfism, and he is... he gives a lot of the kind of backstory on some of the other supers. He either runs a comic shop or owns just a lot of comic books, and despite the fact that he actually doesn't like them very much, but he also did a lot of the writing for the comics and editing for them as well. And so the company that kind of does everything in the boys is called Vought America. And they do, they're kind of the DC Comics, Marvel Comics kind of thing in this, but they're also a government agency, and they use these comic books as a way to not only tell the history of superheroes, but also to kind of pump up the hype machine. So if they ever need to have a new superhero come out that they found, they'll put their own spin on it, they'll give them a different backstory, they're essentially creating heroes. Most of the time, not always very truthful on the backstory on things, but, and he is, he has a very interesting story to him as well, which I definitely think that you should, if you're going to read the boys, you know, eventually we do get a little bit more on the legend, but he is a very important character to the series. Then the rest of the characters on here, you've got a lot of different people from the government, from the CIA, things like that. The boys is actually run by the CIA, and essentially it's just that Butcher needed the money, and that's why he has no problem with with taking the money of the CIA in order to get what he feels is, you know, what the superheroes deserve. So, as I said, most of the superheroes in this story are incredibly narcissistic. Some of them are psychopathic. They do a lot of very terrible thing, very heinous thing. But they play a very important role in the stories. And even in some, you know, you have the kind of underlying story throughout the whole series, but even the kind of throwaway issues, if you would call them that, are still really good, where, you know, they might focus on, you know, a certain hero or a certain group of heroes that they need to take care of, but the stories are still interesting enough, even when they're not focusing on the main storyline on here, to keep you reading and keep you wanting more. So the one of the big groups that they deal with is a superhero group called the Seven. And the Seven are essentially your Justice League of this world. And they are the number one superhero group. And they have kind of an interesting world-building aspect to the different groups that they have, where they've got some groups who are kind of your pro leagues, and then you've got smaller groups that are your kind of minor leagues. And the big thing is that if there is an opening on one of the big league teams, you know, they feed from the smaller groups and do a lot of kind of vetting and making sure that, you know, the people that they bring in are the people that they want. So the other thing too, since this series does take place in 2006, they do have a revisionist history on things, where the Seven are actually involved in the September 11th attacks, and they build it as like the September 11th attacks still happened. They just happened in a different way, and essentially it was, hey, there's some superheroes that played a role in it, the, you know, rather good or bad, but that's one of the really good, really awesome things about it is, you know, they play on these real events, putting the spin of the Boys on it and keeping it rather interesting. So the Seven is head up by the Homelander, and he is essentially your Superman type character. Super patriotic. I guess I would almost call him Captain America, but he has a lot more of the Superman kind of aspects to him. Heat vision, super strength, you know, able to fly. And we don't really get a lot of their normal identities. Some of them we do, because they will play a role into it, but most of the superheroes are exactly referenced as their superhero name. They're, you know, it's kind of all-encompassing that they're this character inside and out, and the idea of them having a secret identity is played with a little bit, but essentially is, you know, it's much more important for them to be these big characters at all points in time. So the Homelander is a pretty bad dude, but he is the, you know, the leader of the Seven, but the Seven is definitely the... They do an awesome job on this. Seven is really corrupt, they're really bad, but they're viewed as heroes. And some of the other members that we've got Black Noir, who is essentially a guy in just a complete black suit, and he's got super strength, he's supposed to have really good skills as a pilot, and he is really an enigma. He's really mysterious, and his backstory is rather interesting as well. We have Queen Maeve. I've never really knew how to pronounce her name. Kind of the Wonder Woman type character. Super strength, flight, durability, but she is an alcoholic, and she is the only other female member until we get the new member of the team. They got A-Train, who, as I said before, is the reason why Wahiwi's girlfriend was killed. He is the Flash, essentially. He's just really, really fast. But he is really young and definitely kind of, he definitely exudes arrogance to him. He definitely, it's shown very quickly that he doesn't give a shit. We have the Deep, who is definitely your Aquaman of the team. He is the King of the Seas, and he has one of those like really old school diver helmets, and he says that he can't remove it because of an Atlantean curse. But again, he's got super strength, flight, which I don't know why he would need if he is the King of the Sea. Incredibly durable. He is essentially kind of a forgotten member of the team, but he is still there. You have Jack from Jupiter, who is kind of your Martian Manhunter. He has the ability to be powered by a secret word. I won't go into that too much. Very heavy drug user. He, again, none of these guys are really all that good of people. You have the Lamplighter, who is a former member of the Seven. He was actually taken down, and then that is what makes the Homelander the new leader. And essentially, he needs a new member, so he goes and recruits a woman by the name of Annie January. Goes by the name of Starlight, and she has the ability to fly, and she can project blinding light. She might have a couple of other powers, but not really looked at very much. She was formerly a member of the Young Americans organization, which is a Christian conservative superhero gang, and again, because it was a feeder system to it, they looked at her, and because of the way that she looks is definitely a reason why they had her join. And then she also is very naive, and we get to see a lot of that. She gets to see the actual true nature of the Seven, and it's not good. They do some pretty heinous shit to her, but, you know, it's all kind of building towards something. Nothing in here ever really felt like gratuitous. Maybe some of the gore, but a lot of the events that happened, they definitely lead towards something. It's not just we're going to make them do this for the sake of, oh, you know, this is going on, oh my god, I can't believe this is going on kind of thing. A couple other groups that we've got, the Young Americans, Fantastico, Teenage Kicks, you know, the list of superhero characters in this is kind of astounding. And there's so many more that are just kind of names that they throw out there, or names in the news. Like, they, you know, Grant, you did an awesome job on this series. Just the sheer number of characters that he was able to come up with, and the different designs that they had to, especially a man by the name of Love Sausage. And Love Sausage is definitely the moment where they definitely push the boundaries, simply because of the fact that he has a very graphic bulge to him, and he is you're very stereotypical Russian, but he's also a very, very interesting character, to say the least. Lots of other characters, you know, I'm not going to get into too much of them, but like I said, the series itself is an incredibly good series, and the art is definitely more up my alley on things. I tend to go for more of a mix between the, you know, comic and realism on things, where if a comic is drawn a little bit too realistic for me, sometimes that can be a little bit of a turnoff. If it's drawn kind of too cartoony for me, that can also be. So this fits right into my kind of sweet spot, where you know you're reading a comic book, but it's not the kind of like washed out or kind of dot matrix looking comic book. And it's also not, you know, the art style is very kind of reminiscent of what you think of when you see comic books, which I prefer, actually. I prefer that sort of quasi-realism to it, but not going to the extreme where, you know, you have so much detail that you look like you're looking at pictures. And the writing on it is really good, too. The characters feel as if they are separate characters, that it's separate voices. You don't always get that sometimes. Sometimes you get everyone has kind of a consistent voice to them, or a lot of the some of the things that they will say will either feel like you know it's one person writing it, or will be so kind of off the wall with catchphrases and or character building that you'll be like, all right, you're trying too hard. But these feel very organic. When you do get some of those moments where the characters act a little out of character, it's not only for a reason, but also you're able to see it because you know the characters so well. So definitely one that I would say check out. At least read the first couple of issues, and I can guarantee you will most likely be hooked. And like I said, it is one of my favorite comic book series. I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but probably top three or four for sure. So definitely think you guys should check that out. You know, I want to thank a lot of the new subscribers that we've got. As always, you know, if you can, you know, leave a review. If you think that the series sucks, give me a 1-star review and say it sucks, you know, because that's your right. You know, I can't stand it when you get those podcasts that say like, leave us a 5-star review. Well, maybe I don't like your show enough to be a 5-star review. So if you think I'm only a 3-star, give me a 3-star. I don't care, but I just need some feedback. So otherwise, you know, feel free to reach out to me at geekandgamerguild@gmail.com or Twitter @geekandgamer. Otherwise, be sure to search for us on Facebook, facebook.com/geekandgamerguild, and check out the questendnetwork.com, where you can find all the different podcasts in our family of networks, the Questionable Endeavor Network. If you are into wrestling, there are two podcasts there for you, the Rundown Wrestling Podcast and the Raw Attitude Podcast. If you are into anime, there is a series called Tuning Japanese, TOONING, Tuning Japanese. And if you are a fan of serial horror, there is the Shadowvane Podcast, which you can also find at shadowvane.net. And as I said, feel free to go to questendnetwork.com. There's a lot of different articles, as well as links to all of the different podcast series that we have there, and as well as some streaming content as well from our fearless leader, Mr. Lister. So please check that out, and join me again in a week or two, whenever I can find some time here to get on here again. I'm hoping that my next episode I will be able to talk about the video game series South Park: The Stick of Truth, as the new South Park game will be coming out. I believe it was originally going to be coming out at the end of this year. Probably won't drop to 2017, but the first entry in the series is so good. Definitely needs to be checked out, and I definitely need to talk about it. So until then, game on.